President Jin, welcome to Conversation With.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You said, sir, that you know trust is something that's very hard to build up. Do you feel at this time that we are in a trusting sort of situation in the global economy with you know the prospect of possible trade wars? And how is that going to impact the infrastructure projects that we're looking at here in Asia?
You see, as a new institution, everything has to be built up. A physical infrastructure of the bank, you know, certainly is important. We need to build up the capacity, professionals who can deal with the operations. We must have finance people, and we must have a whole system being built up. That probably is not that hard. There are so many cases of success over the past 7 decades or something. How can we develop a bank which can fit into the 21st century? And particularly as a bank initiated by China, how can we help people to understand this is a bank initiated by China, but not dominated by China? How can we make sure that people would believe the bank would take care of these safeguard policies, environmental protection, we were taking care of the interests of the people who would be resettled because of infrastructure investments. How can we make people be convinced that this bank is free from corruption?
Is that part of the reason why the AIIB is also doing a lot of lending here in India to counterbalance that that perception possibly that it's Chinese initiated, but it's not totally Chinese focused?
China makes it very clear from the very beginning. We would like to promote the broad interest of all the members of this bank. So we're not going to build a bank and taking the money to our own country. China may be borrowing symbolically for the connectivity on the border, okay, in modest amounts, but the resources will be generally reserved for the developing member countries. So the bank must be fair to each and every member of this institution. But early in the days, we cannot wait. We must help those countries who can provide shovel projects for us to finance as soon as possible. India is a country with strong institutional capability. India has lots of experience working with ADB, with the World Bank, with other institutions. So very naturally, we quickly build up the assets in India. And at the same time as India has such a need for infrastructure. India has huge backlog of infrastructures to develop. So you see, it's a very good cooperation between the bank and India.
Does the AIIB have sort of an unspoken or sort of a tacit sort of a quota system? And you say, okay, this amount of you know funding will go to India, this amount will go to ASEAN. I mean, do you look at the project and see how much are we giving where? And do you put a bit of a number on that?
I think under the guidance of the board, we would like to have a balanced lending program across all of the members. But the so-called balance will be achieved over time. And the board has approved a strategy for non-Asian countries, non-regional members, which at this stage is set at 15%. So 15% of the resources would be used to finance infrastructures outside Asia, and 85% would be for the Asian countries.
But within Asia, station. Is there a balancing up of where you want to put it?
I think there's no very rigid allocation of resources. I don't think that's the way. It's a dynamic process.
But there are some years when you'll say, okay, we're going to, you know, we really want to try and back India now with its projects, or no, you don't have anything like that at all.
You see, for any country, we need to look at two issues, which is, first of all, balanced allocation resources for all of the members. And the need is need-based, right? India is a large country, and the number two of this institution with a large population. And it's all right for the bank to give a bigger proportion of resources for India. On the other hand, the rating companies, the board will look at the concentration issue. So we certainly could not build up the assets portfolio excessively high in one particular country. But that's not a problem for us to face anytime soon. And I'm sure with the other countries catching up, the resource allocation will be certainly more balanced. I appreciate the support, actually, of the Indian government and local government, federal government. They give us very good projects, you know, to finance.
One of the questions that's come up is also this idea that you're lean, clean, and green. But isn't it difficult? Once you have given the money to a particular project, how can you make sure that you don't have corruption stepping in? In other words, that the funds are not maybe allocated to that high-speed rail, to that road. What do you do to make sure that in the long run, that piece of infrastructure actually gets built and it just doesn't go into the pockets of corrupt politicians?
For a bank to be lean, clean, and green, there are lots of things you need to do, and on a regular basis. It's very easy to be lean early in the stage, but how can we make sure the bank will be lean and cost effective without building up excessive bureaucracy as you move on 2 or 3, even 4 decades later? You look back, are we trying our very best to keep ourselves very lean, right? This is something we need to keep in mind. And to be clean, free of corruption, certainly we must make sure the bank itself is free from corruption. On the other hand, we want to make sure the projects we finance are free from corruption. So there are some measures for us to make sure this is going to be the case. For instance, the disbursement would be made according to the progress of the construction of the operations. And we have the supervision, we want to make sure the money will go to the right place. If anything happens, if any irregularity happens, we certainly want to do something to stop it.
On that score, sir, so it's only been 2 years, so you're promising that in the future you will be monitoring, and if irregularities do occur, you would stop it? You would stop the financing for a project?
Suspension of the project is the first reaction of any MDBs, unless they put the money back, okay? And also, the reputation of our partner is very important. As important as our reputation, we're not going to do anything with any partner who has reputational problems. So this is a huge incentive to our potential partners or existing partners that they must keep clean to be eligible for our financing.
But sir, that's a bit difficult, isn't it? I mean, even if you look at something like some of the projects in China and other parts of Asia, many of the companies will themselves confess that they do not actually do much corporate governance. And these are, you know, things that they admit to the United Nations themselves, and various reports have been written about this. So if especially, you know, not just government, but even SMEs say that they are not doing any governance, then isn't it a bit of a sham to say that it's going to be clean?
You see, in this world, the government, the businesses, and the private sector, all of these institutions are looking at the governance issue very, very seriously. It's the matter of trust. And the people will not tolerate any company, public or private, or any governmental institutions, if they are engaged in some irregularities or even outright corruption. So all eyes are on you. And as a multilateral development bank owned by all of the shareholders, as you know, we have 86. And how can we continue to get the support of the shareholders and stakeholders? How can we convince the rating companies who gave us triple rating that this bank would continue to do well? You see, every decision we make, everything we do is of vital importance to our reputation.
Part of the speculation in Malaysia is that now with many of the infrastructure projects which may not go anymore to Chinese companies, but perhaps the Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir, has suggested perhaps it would go to Japanese companies. The common perception of that is that would AIB still finance these infrastructure projects, even if it's not Chinese companies anymore that would be you know, spearheading the building of the railroad or whatever it is, and that it would be okay if it was Japanese?
You see, our basic principle is the financing must be based on international competitive bidding. When we finance a project in any country, Malaysia, Indonesia, or any country, at least our money must be based on that basic condition. As you see, we have the international competitive bidding. The companies whose countries are not members are also eligible. So people should not be worried that we follow our standard and that we must abide by our high standard of the international competitive
bidding. So it wouldn't matter who won, so to say, the project, whether it was a Japanese company or a Chinese company.
That is
you
true.
You would be assessing it on a different basis.
That is true. That is
and
true.
That you would still be, if the project is worthy,
That's right.
AIB
exactly.
would still vouch for it and still, or rather still finance it.
No question about that. Mm.
In this world, though, you're talking about this apolitical world, but the world is not apolitical. President Trump of the United States has a very particular view of the world. But doesn't that also affect how the rest of us react here in Asia?
You see, I abide by the basic principle of our constitution, Articles Agreement. Articles Agreement stipulates that this bank is an apolitical institution, which means the board and the management would make decisions in financial and economic terms. And that is the core principle of our institution. Whatever we do would be good for the global economy. So in this sense—
And not just for one economy, not, like America.
Not just for, I believe what we do would be also in the interest of those countries who may not be part of this bank, because we promote the global peace, prosperity, through the down-to-earth work in improving the economic social life.
So you may actually still be benefiting the United States.
And we have an Americans working in our institution. We engage in American companies. That is why more and more people in the United States are convinced that this is truly a multilateral development institution.
In this last 2 years, AIB seems to be quite reticent about making comments about the general economy of the world or about even regional projections, unlike, let's say, for example, the IMF and World Bank. Don't you think that the AIB perhaps needs to be engaged in that way for people to think of you as being on the same level as the ADB or IMF or World Bank? As long as you say so reticent, isn't that going to be a drawback
this
to your
is
reputation?
Our own focus is to promote infrastructure investment, which would improve the livelihood of the people in our member countries. Now, what should we do is not to duplicate the work of the existing institutions. We should try to do something which may not be the focus of other institutions. We may might as well benefit from the research of such an excellent team of IMF and the World Bank or even ADB or EBRD. They have done so much work in analyzing the global economic development, economic situations. So we can draw from their work. On the other hand, probably we in the future should focus on the trend of the sector trend. How, for instance, we would help the people, the government of the member countries, to design their national development programs based on the sector trend, based on their economic background. So what we do in the future in terms of economic and research work is to complement the excellent work of IMF, World Bank and other institutions rather than to duplicate the whole, you know, business.
For a layman, do you think that there is a difference between the way that, so to say, Western-based economists analyze and see the world and the way that perhaps a person from Asia would see the world? For example, some years ago, you actually wrote a commentary about how Europe has to stop, you know, just wasting time discussing things and to look to Asia. You know, as you called it, stop, you know, wasting time negotiating and actually go for a realistic, even if it's a suboptimal solution. Do you still hold to that, sir?
You see, as an economist, economic analyst, or political scientist, what is important is that he or she will look at the data, will look at the facts to come to rational conclusions. The conclusion is based on the rigorous analysis and research, not on the personal preferences. The problem with some of the Western political analysts or economists is that they predict the future of China, for instance, in 1998 or something like that, or the future of any other Asian countries, based on their preferences. They don't want to see you do well, and they find all of the negative data to say, oh, this country would be going to the dogs. And they take out all of this data, which are positive. So people should be, I think, literally doing what is the most important thing, the integrity of a researcher. Some people have been predicting the collapse of China's economy, but this never happens. You remember I said it's hard to predict China. All right? China is a country which defies prediction. You know why? I think just because some analysts are influenced by their own preferences, not by the facts.
And
that's
political
the problem.
Preferences is what you're
implying, that's the problem.
Sir.
That's the problem.
Yep. So, but are not all of our views, to some degree, informed by our value systems and our ethical systems and our political inclinations?
You see, as the humans, anybody in his or her right mind would have say, I love peace, friendship, cooperation, mutual respect, and among the different nations, you should try to have very good, equitable relationship, supporting each other. And this should be the norm, right, in international politics or economics. But unfortunately, sometimes this is not the case. But as a development institution, as a bank owned by all of the shareholders, our basic principle is that we must be fair to each and every member. We should serve the interests of both the regionals and non-regionals. We should not be involved in any political disputes between any nations. Our job is to promote the coordination, cooperation, and integration of the global economy. So this is an apolitical institution, and we abide by our principle.
President Jin, thank you very much for being in conversation with.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk to you again.